The Hilchas Tefillin, the laws of Tefillin, we're up to chapter 32, and we're up to subsection 75, I and Hey. And here, we were discussing that you need to sew the Tefillin with the veins of the animal, and he says some require, some suggest that it should be done with the vein of the oxen. That's the best way to use it. Well, in this section, subsection 75, he writes, "Ein leilech lebote hanochrim liknois mehem gidim." One shall not go to the homes of the non-Jews. And in those days, I mean, people used to be cattle; they used to raise cattle, so they had probably these veins. So you shouldn't go to a non-Jewish home to purchase veins. In a situation, if it is known that some of them take it from an unclean animal. Because we said before, it has to be done from something that you are permitted to eat. You know, unfortunately, they raised a lot of swine over there and other kind of animals, and that would not be kosher. So if you know that they are also doing it, sometimes they take it from the non-kosher animal, so you're not sure. Now, there's a rule here. There's a general rule that we go by the majority. Achre rabim lahatis. We just go. In many times we apply in halacha when we're not sure about a situation. So how am I going to know? Can I? He's saying to you not to purchase it, but from the Torah one can assume that a piece comes from the majority. Let's give you for instance. Let's say you have 9 kosher butcher shops in a city, okay, and then you have one non-kosher butcher shop in the city. And then you go in the street, you know, let's say they're all lined up together, but approximately in the city, in front of the place, you find a piece of meat. Okay? Now, you want to, you know, finders keepers. In those cases, there's no sign. You can get it. You know, a piece of meat was expensive. Person wants to take it, but he's not sure if it's kosher or not. Because he doesn't know. Maybe it came from the non-kosher butcher shop, or maybe it came from the kosher one. The rule is we go by majority. That means we say the piece that comes here must have come, if we're going to measure from which one of the butcher shops it came, we say since there's 9 kosher ones, it must have come from the kosher ones and not from the non-kosher one, and you can go ahead and take that meat. I'm not saying you should go and do it, but I'm just saying, principally speaking, one can do it because we would go by the majority, and we would say that this piece of meat that you found on the floor comes from the non-kosher. But it is a different story. It's a very interesting principle, and it's a very fine distinction over here. But what happens in a case where you went to buy a piece of meat? You weren't thinking, you know, I mean, like, maybe it's like in a marketplace, you know, they have 9 kosher butcher shops. You're not sure in which store you entered. You entered into one of these butcher shops over there, and you bought a piece of meat. Now you're wondering, which butcher shop did I take it from? Did I go to the kosher ones, or did I go? Over here, we're not going to say the majority. Over here, we're going to say it's like 50-50. You can't eat it, because if it comes from there, called the parish, meruba parish. If it comes from one of these, I'm saying it comes from the majority, but it's here. But if the question is where I went into, then I don't go by majority. And I say that you can't eat it. It's like 50-50. So the point over here is, but that's another whole discussion why exactly this is. But over here, for our purposes over here, he's saying to you that when you're going to a goy's home, even though most of the animals are kosher animals, but since you're going to his house, it's like going to the store, and therefore you can't use it because it remains a suffix. Let's say it remains a. So he says like this: Afal pisharev neitli mibehema tohira, even though the majority of the nochrim, of the non-Jews, they use kosher their veins or the what they make string out of it, to sew it. So even though most of them take it from the clean animal, so he says, you cannot, because you still cannot buy it from them. So why don't we go by majority? Why don't we say, since the majority of the Nochrim sell kosher strands, why don't I just go there? So he says, no, because since you're going to the non-Jew, at the time that they are set in their homes, they are stationary in their homes. It's not that you found some thread over here and then you want to know from whose home it came. But you're going into the home, and over there we don't go by majority. Anybody who's stationary is considered like 50-50. Even though it's just an equal chance I went into him or I went into somebody else, it's considered like 50-50, and we don't go by majority.
We'll become
steel. Oh. If the non-Jew brings to the marketplace, then muter liknes mimenu. Then you can buy from him if he brings it to the marketplace. Why? Shekiv on shepirish makom kivu. So since it's been removed from its place where it's stationed, so then anu aimnim kol haperish min haroivu perish. There we apply the rule. If it's come from somewhere, where did it come from? I say it came from the majority. If you go to it, then it's 50-50. If it comes from it, then we say kol haperish
minuber.
Yeah, same idea. However, but that's only if you know that there will be some that will use non-kosher strength.
There also has to be other people selling that product in the market.
Yes, but you know. But v'im ein yedua shemiktsosu neitn leis beimetameya. But if you don't know, I mean, as far as you know, maybe everybody uses it only from kosher. You don't know for sure that there's some non-kosher.
So if he comes to your house, then you can't buy it from him.
If he comes to your house, then you'd also be able, well, depending if it's a third party or it's the person itself. Well, it's mainly going to his house versus coming from him to you.
If you were selling to come to my house, it's a 50-50 chance. Right?
So not, well,
isn't it?
No, I don't know. If over here it seems like
because you said if you go to his house,
yeah,
it's 50-50. So if he comes to your house,
if he comes, no, but he comes, no, but it's not your house. The main thing is if it left its place.
Oh, okay.
If it's not to the house, it's left its place. It left its place where it starts off from. It's kvias, it's set place. Let's see with the end over here. Okay. If it's not known, we don't know, we never heard that some of them take it from a non-kosher animal, then it's mutar liknes mem b'chol inyan. Then you're allowed to eat it in always. Because the reason is, sh'roiv behemos hanecholim hem tehoirim. He says, most animals that are eaten are kosher ones. And from those that are not eaten, innately mehen gidin. They don't take the gidin from them. Shebavadai ein hanochri neicher behema b'shul gidehom. A guy would not just kill an animal just so he can get the veins of it. That's not worth it for him. So he says, so therefore, they understood that most animals that are eaten are kosher. Okay, so most animals are kosher. So actually, so the assumption is here, I mean, there are some non-kosher animals, but there's some that are eaten, period. So you try to figure...
That's the way domesticated.
But let me ask you, is that true today as well? Like when you go into them, you see all the meats when you go in the supermarket.
Yeah.
The most meat will not be like
most meat is regular
beef. Beef meat, it's cow meat.
Pork in the
yeah, but there's not that much. But pork is in a minority against all the meat that people eat.
Yeah, yeah, it's meat and chicken.
Yeah. But now forget about chicken, just talk about meat, for meat for a second.
Lamb. pork is much cheaper than red meat.
Yeah.
So I would say it's still the red meat is the majority.
The majority. So that's what he's saying. It's the majority. So the assumption is that it comes from a kosher animal. If you don't know, the assumption is kosher animals, and then there is. But now, when you take, but that's only from that are eaten. But then, if you take all the animals in the world, there's more non-kosher than kosher. But then you don't use their veins for that.
So
then,
it's
not an edible, and you're not going to just kill the animal to eat the to take out the veins. That's what he says here.
A domesticated animal, like a cattle, is domesticated.
Right.
So, wait, a lion? You can eat lion meat, but who's going to slaughter a lion? And you can eat elephant meat. People eat it. They sell it in cans.
Venison's
kosher.
Yeah.
So the only animal that they would have had in Europe would have been probably the pig, but and a camel you don't eat. It's not edible.
So he says like this, but now he's telling you, he's qualifying this, and he's saying, this whole, we learned before that you can take directly the veins, and sometimes the way they do it is they soften it up, and they make it like into flax, and then you spin it, and you
talked about it yesterday.
So he says like this: when you just use regular veins, you don't have to do any act with them. You just take them as is, and you put them through the straps, right? So all the above that we discussed, we're discussing in a way in which you're using begidim, kidim she'enum tovim, those veins that you don't spin, you don't comb, you don't spin them, you just use them as is. Because when you use them as is, there's no requirement to make them for the sake of tefillin, because you're not doing anything, you're just threading it through as is. But if it's a case, avol gidim, tovin, but if you sort of have to spin the veins, also liklus b'chol inyan, over there you're not allowed to buy. You can't buy that because there's another problem. Forget about kosher or not kosher. If there is some preparation needed to make him into the thread that you're going to use, then that process also has to be done for the sake of the tefillin. So you can't just buy it like that for another reason. If you're just buying the regular, so you're not making anything over there, so you can't, there's no making it for the sake of the tefillin, because you're not making it, you're just using a ready-made vein that is there. But when you're spinning it, and you're weaving it, so then it's aslam cholinya shekiva, shalach alamayshi misinai hain, since this has been passed down by tradition from Moshe, that we need that, tzorich shetiyah, so then you must make it for the sake of heaven. You must also spin it. He gives you an example. When you are painting the straps and you make them black, even that painting needs to be made for the sake of the tefillin. You can't just paint it and use painted straps for tefillin that you didn't paint specifically for the purpose of tefillin. When they paint the straps black, and the reason why they have to do that is because this idea that the straps have to be black, that has been passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Sinai. So he said that this tefillin has to be black, and therefore, because of that, we need to do this in a way that it has to be done l'shma. Mipnei shashcharos nalocha mishpsine kama shbaibsim lam gimel. Utviyas agidim zuhi asiyosom. And when you spin, when you weave the veins, that is considered making them. That is when you're making them. V'tzorich liyesh l'shma. And that needs to be done for the purpose of the tefillin.
In other words, he can buy the little veins from the guard, but he spins them himself.
That's right. Exactly.
That he can do.
Spinning is like a sewing machine.
Yeah, but that has to be done for the sake of the tefillin. You can't just take it.
Spinning is like when they make cotton. You know how they used to do it. Oh.
He says, who says that spinning is anything? Who says, what is spinning? Spinning, you're not making it. He says, no. Look, when you make the tzitzis, we say the same thing is true, he says in the parentheses over here. When you spin the tzitzis, that spinning, that is meant, that is the, or the spinning or the weaving them, that is made, that's considered making them. And that has to make lishma. V'nachrim lav b'nei lishmain. Non-Jews cannot make it for the sake of the tefillin. They're not people that can make it for the sake of the tefillin. Why? So what happens if you tell a non-Jew, you say to him, go ahead and do my tefillin for me for the purpose of tefillin. They can't conceptually, they cannot do tefillin lishma, because since they're not part of this mitzvah, you cannot do something lishma if you're not part of that mitzvah. Since they don't have the mitzvah of tefillin, they don't have the ability to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. Huh? Spinning it right now.
But wait a minute. Listen, yeah. When we did the tzitzis, right? Didn't we talk about in some cases they used, it was a non-Jew would spin it, the Jew would watch him?
Okay. That's true. We talked about that. If it is,
right?
Yeah,
about that?
Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Thanks for the visual.
Yeah, okay. He says he's asking what happens,
right,
if the if a Jew is standing over there, and a non-Jew is actually doing the spinning. Would that work or not?
No, it won't work.
That also won't work. Before we learned in the laws of tzitzis. We learned about a minor, but I have to remember exactly. But yeah, I have to look it up.
Yeah,
we did discuss that. Let me just in section 11. That's Simon Yud Aleph in the Sea of Dalet in section 4. Over there, it says that if a goy wove it or spun it, even if a Jew is standing over him and he tells him to make it for the purpose of tzitzis, it is puzzle. It doesn't help. Why? Right. He says no good. But he says because a goy does it on his own. He doesn't really care what the Jew is telling him.
Okay.
Unless the Jew is helping him a little bit. But on the other hand, other people who are considered incapacitated or mentally not capable, if they're told by an adult, by a sane person to help, to do it, then it would work, because they don't have a mind of their own, so they listen to you. But a non-Jew just has his own mind, and you can tell him as much as you want, but it's not going to help. So having a goy do it is not going to help.
So in the case of the tefillin, even if he assists him, it's no good.
Who said that? I'm not sure.
No, you didn't say that. That's what
that didn't say here. But probably that same rule would apply by tefillin, by there too. That if the Jew should actually assist the goy itself, then it probably, I have to look it up more, that'll probably be okay.
But if you convert the goy to Judaism,
that's another thing.
That's
a whole other thing. I know sometimes when they had a short of a minion, they had 9 people, and they wanted to convert the goy to him. There was only a question, who's going to do the bris or something. or throw him into the mikveh. There was actually a story in the Talmud, don't laugh. The Gemara says about Rabbi Gamliel, the Talmud tells us Rabbi Gamliel was short a tenth for a minyan, but he had his servant, Tovi Avdi, and he wanted to free him. You know, when you free a slave, he becomes like fully Jewish. He's when he's a slave, at that point, you know, the rules of an Eved Kanani, so he's not really able to serve as part of a minyan. So he had to free him to make him a minyan. Okay, but that's another discussion. Section 76, Ayin Vov. He says, Yesh Misha Oimer, there is an opinion that says, Shechutim Hanasi Min Aklaf. Sometimes you can get strands out of the parchment, you know, a little strip. Use that as a sort of as a thread for the tefillin. Some people say that the strands that are made from parchment, Hem Kigidim Atzmo, they are treated like the veins themselves. Ukshedim litvar bem sefer Torah utfilin, and they're kosher to be sewing with them the sefer Torah and the tefillin. Because remember, also the sefer Torah is sewn. That's how we sew together the various panels of the sefer Torah. You know, you sew them. What do you sew them with? You also sew them with thread. What kind of thread? You're not going to buy regular thread for that. So you also use the thread of the veins that we were talking about before.
So what's the tape on the back made?
What? I don't know. Good question. I'm not sure. Let's see. We're not learning laws of the Torah, but I'm not sure. But those are questions, you know. Like I told you in the very beginning, this is somewhat new to me myself, you know, because in yeshiva most of the time we don't study the laws of tefillin. We leave it up for the sofer. But it's important to know these halacha. A lot of interesting laws that we've been learning over here. So he says like this. He says v'yesh lismechal devorov. He says you can rely on that opinion who says that you can use the strips of parchment to sew a sefer Torah and tefillin. If you don't have, can't find, you know, the veins to sew it with, okay, what are you going to do? So you can sew it with strips of the parchment. Until the time that you're going to find, you're going to get gidim. So in the meantime, put together, sew your tefillin together with pieces of the parchment. So that you're not going to waste the mitzvah of tefillin, because you don't have anything else. What do you have here? All what you have is strips of the towel. You don't have veins to sew it up with. So we don't want you to waste the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, he says like this in section 77. And we'll leave it over here. We'll leave 77, and we'll leave a small piece for tomorrow to finish. Actually, we have a few more. But it says here like this: Kabbalah biyada goinim. It's a tradition in the hands of the goinim. The goinim are there's a period of rabbis that were called the goinim. Goinim means the geniuses. It was the period of the geniuses. They followed the Talmud. They called them. Their era was called the goinim. Those were they followed the tradition from the previous rabbis, from the Amoraim, from the Tanoim, were called the goinim. And they have by tradition to make litper yud based tefiris. They make 12 sew. They sew 12 times. There's 12 stitches basically what they do. And the reason 12 corresponds to keneged yud based shvatim, corresponds to the 12 tribes of Israel. And the way they do it.
That's why you have 12 kids.
I got my own tribe. Me and Jacob.
Oh,
well, see, Jacob had it from four wives. Yeah.
But those days, you couldn't.
And Jacob had many more girls. He had many more girls. We're talking about only the 12 tribes. There's only boys.
Oh,
okay, all boys. I mean, the tribes were boys.
Yeah, okay.
So now, you have 12 stitches corresponding to the 12 tribes. And the way you have it is Gimel Tefiris Bechol Tzad. You have 3 stitches on each side. Take a look at your tefillin, and you will see that there is 3 stitches on each side. And how many sides do we have?
4.
It's 3 times 4?
12.
It's 12. Good. You're good at math. Good. Gimel Tefiris Bechol Tzad. Chut Atfira Yia Soivev Mibeiz Ruchis. The string, the strand of that of the sewing should go through both sides. I mean, sometimes you can sew with a needle, go in one way, out the other way, and you leave the other side blank. Not so. Over here, we want you to sew both sides. So you go around and around, okay? So, b'chol tefira. Now, v'im piches, m'beiz b'chol tefira tefira, litvi b'chol tzad, v'chut ha-tefira, yisev m'beiz ruches, we want the a strand that you're sewing with should surround both sides. The whole tefira, tefira, each sew. So again, I'm not sure exactly how they run the needle, how they run it, but presumably you start it with one side, you make a whole circle, and then you can go to the next one and make a whole circle. But I don't know, you're going to have to go over. I don't know how you do that. Not to go over twice, or maybe to go twice. I'm not sure exactly how to keep it. I think if you go from one to the other and then you do the other way around backwards, you'll get each. I'm not sure how they do it.
You also want to note that you're not actually going through the leather. They drill holes first.
Yeah. They drill the holes first. But I'm saying when they go through, if you go through one side fully, and then you go through, and then you go back, you make the second loop on the way back. You know, but over here it seems like he says it should be circling from both sides in each time you sow. It almost sounds like you're putting it in a circle. I'm not sure exactly. Let me see. Vayitavim piches meyud beis tefiris ahoysif. If you made less than 12 sowings or you added loy posel, that did not disqualify. It's something that you do, but it doesn't disqualify the tefillin. Ve'ain tzorich sheyitiya tefira betoich habayis elo samach labayis. We don't need the sowing to be in the housing itself, so you don't use it inside of the compartment, like on the bottom, but it's next to the, as we have it, it's sewn around next to the compartment. But he says, so this is an interesting, I'm just going to show you on the tefillin over here. Just let me show you the tefillin. As you see over here, so they have the three sewings. So you have one, two, three. Okay, you sew it. And you sew it together, but it's over here. What he's telling you now, this tefillin has to come out over here so that the sewing will be on this part.
Right.
You don't want the sewing on this part, you want the sewing on the part that comes out of the tefillin. This is what he's telling you now. So he's saying like this, you need the leather of the compartment of the batim to be mispashit, that it needs to stretch. V'nichpal ben beis hakefolim shel hatitura, and that it should be doubled in the two, in between the two folds of the titura, b'mokoim hatefira. So where you're sewing over here, the leather needs to stretch out a little bit. So if you look in the front of the tefillin, we're talking about the back of the tefillin, it needs to stretch out a little bit in between and doubled. Meaning also on the bottom. So it needs to stretch out on the top and on the bottom in a way that so that the sewing should be in the part of the skin that comes from the compartment, of the leather that comes from the compartment. You don't want to sew up another part, not part of the... See, this is the box that goes high up that you put the tefillin in. But if some of it stretches out, you're still sewing that box because that's a leather that continues the box. And that's why this is considered part of the compartment. That bottom piece that folds out straight is considered part of this part of the bayis. For this reason, then the bayis, this itself is sewn. Because if you don't do it on the part that comes from this, if you're going to do it on the mabarta, the place where the strap goes through, this is not considered part of the tefillin. This is part, not part of the bayis. Good. Because Moshe has not written that the tefillin have to be sewn. Tefillin. That is the bayis. This is called the tefillin. And not the titura. So this is not called the tefillin. And that's why we need to also square out the box itself, and it's not sufficient just squaring out over here on the bottom by the titura. Titura is the bottom part, but we need the box also. Titura is called the titura of the tefillin. So trying to think exactly what it means here. But you know what? We're running late, so we'll finish it tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. We'll go through it.